That was Bridge of Light, a terrific song from the movie Happy Feet, which of course was about penguins. And that leads us to Australia's Little Penguins, who've become international superstars, with billions of viewers turning up nightly on YouTube and Facebook to watch the pint-sized birds emerge from the ocean at sunset and scurry home to burrows in the sand dunes of Phillip Island. Now, Phillip Island Nature Park's Roland Pick told reporter Veronica Matheson how the penguin parade has stolen the limelight and captured hearts around the world.
Tell me, Roland, the fairy penguins, they've become international superstars.
You're absolutely right, Veronica. They have become global superstars. And look, it really came about during restrictions, of course, brought about by COVID. We really wanted to stay connected, I guess, to people in Victoria and around the world, that we were still here. The penguins were still coming ashore every night. We were still counting them every night. So we just thought, if people can't come to the penguins, how can we take the penguins to the people? So we became very, very quickly experts on live streaming and took the penguins out to the world. And look, they really have taken the world by storm.
Did you expect that it would be such a success?
Oh, look, it has absolutely blown us away, to be completely honest, Veronica. The viewer numbers that we've had and the feedback that we've had and how much joy the penguins have brought to people in some fairly challenging times.
How many people have actually tuned in?
Ticked over just over 14 million late last week.
1.4 million?
1.4 million, yeah. I know. Ooh. It's quite remarkable, isn't it? We certainly were not expecting that. Those sort of numbers truly have blown us out of the water. I remember on our very first night, before our first night, we in the live stream team, we were kind of taking bets on how many people might be watching and how many people might tune in. And, you know, we were kind of hoping, oh, wouldn't it be great if we got 20 or 30,000? Wouldn't that be just the best thing ever? We had 771,000 people tune in on the first night. And it's just stayed consistent since then. Even last night, we had about just under 500,000 people log in and have a look. It's just been phenomenal. The word got out. It's just kind of spread, because we really haven't done a lot more promotion on it since the very beginning. So it's really been social media that's kind of just keeps it going. Social media around the world has absolutely been overwhelmed.
Where are the most viewers?
Probably from UK, Germany, USA, Canada, Japan, if I had to name sort of my top five. But we regularly get viewers from over 85 countries. So people just love to watch the penguins. So many people have messaged us and emailed us to say, you know, thanks for bringing so much joy into these grey times. It's just been so overwhelming that people have really connected so much with the penguins, and they just make people smile. They just bring happiness to pretty much anyone that watches them.
What is it about fairy penguins that have such an attraction for everybody?
Well, look, it's really interesting. I was listening to an interview that our research director, Dr. Peter Dan, gave a little while ago. He's been here 40 years now, so there's not much he doesn't know about penguins. And he was asked the same question. And he actually answered it. He said, I've met people that don't like Christmas, and I've met people that don't like cats, but I've never met anyone that doesn't like penguins. I think it's the fact that they are this sort of combination of birds, yet they live in the water and on the ground. They have this incredible waddle that just makes them look so clumsy and funny and amusing. Every time they move, it's a funny little story in and of itself.
Before COVID, how many visitors would you get to the Penguin Parade every night?
On a quiet winter's night, we might have, you know, 800, 900, 1,000. And on a really sort of, during that really busy summer holiday period, we might have 3,500.
And a huge proportion of those people would come from overseas, wouldn't they?
Yeah, correct. Around about 60 to 65% of our visitors do come from overseas.
Tell me, what's the background of the Penguin Parade?
It actually started around about 100 years ago in one form or another, when a sort of a local entrepreneurial style chap by the name of Bert West decided, oh, I could probably make some money if I put some people on a small bus and take them out to see the penguins. And it just kind of grew from there. And then through the 50s, more and more people started coming, and then the bridge was built so people could come down and do day trips more and more easily. So that's when it started becoming a bit more of a managed affair. Phillip Island Nature Parks, we were formed in 1996, and we're kind of the overseeing authority for the Penguin Parade.
And the colony is obviously protected.
So the colony is very strong now at 32,000, approximately, give or take a few penguins. And the majority or all of them are based on the Summerland Peninsula, which is at the western end of the island.
So, Roland, do they spend the whole of the year in Phillip Island, or do they sometimes have a little holiday somewhere else?
It's a little bit of both. For the most part, all of the adult birds will spend their time based around Phillip Island, but they can actually spend anything up to about 4 or 5 weeks out at sea at a time, because, of course, that's where they do their hunting and their fishing. That's their supermarket, I guess. They generally only come to land to either breed, feed their chicks, or to do their annual molt. So they don't come home every night. They'll only travel up to about 50 or 60 kilometres away from home out into Bass Strait. The only difference to that is the young penguins, the little chicks, when they fledge at the age of anywhere between 8 and 11 weeks, they actually go off and have a little bit of a gap year. They go off exploring. Generally, they won't return to the colony until they're at least 1 year old. And they'll usually just explore along the southern Victorian coast. But they tend to come back when they're about a year old, and they'll come back and try and set up their own home, try and find a burrow for themselves. So, and from then on, they'll stay pretty close to home. And hopefully the breeding season after that, once they're sort of 2 years old and older, they'll find themselves a partner and have some chicks of their own.
So tell me, the staff there, they must get attached to some of the penguins, do they?
So many of the staff down here are science-based. They're kind of researchers. They tend not to, I suppose, what's the word, anthropomorphise too much, and they tend to look at it as a holistic colony. Certainly they're very attached to the penguins as a whole, but I don't know if they're, you know, they're sort of particularly attached to young Frank, who lives in Burrow 23, or Susan, who's in Burrow 457.
do you think the fairy penguins notice that there aren't any visitors there at the moment?
Well, look, we don't think so. We've kind of been watching them, so we've still got rangers down there every night. And because our visitors are always on these, you know, on the structured platforms, and most visitors are really respectful and they sit there quietly as the penguins come ashore. The penguins seem, to be perfectly honest, fairly oblivious to us. And whether we're there or not, they kind of do the same thing. So we haven't really noticed much of a change in their behaviour since, you know, from when we've had, you know, maybe a couple of thousand people there to having maybe two rangers there. They pretty much do the same thing.
And is there a bit of competition amongst the rangers for commentating on the night's parade?
Well, it's funny how that's actually evolved, because when we first floated the idea of the live streaming, we had a lot of our rangers put their hands up and say, oh, yeah, I'd really like to do that. That's great. And then when the reality sunk in that you're actually sitting there and for 20 or 25 minutes you're pretty much talking nonstop to potentially hundreds of thousands of people at a time, a few of them got a little bit nervous. We've got this great core of commentators, of rangers that have that do the live streaming, and it's lovely to see. They've each got their own little separate fan clubs. We see all the comments on Facebook and on YouTube on a particular night. You might have, let's say, Ranger Sky, who was our inaugural ranger. She sort of launched it. She was the one that stepped into the great unknown first time around, and she certainly developed a great following. And it's lovely to see the comments, you know, when the live stream starts and you see, let's say, for instance, Ranger Sky, and immediately get this flood of comments, and it just says, oh, welcome back, Sky, and oh, my daughter just yelled out when she saw you. She was so happy, and that kind of – that's the kind of lovely stuff that people are sharing with us, you know, and that's what makes it really go straight to the heart, and it shows that people are really, really connected, not just with the penguins but with the people. So whether it's Ranger Sky or Ranger Jordan or any of the others, Ranger Megan, Stephen, they've all got their little followings.
People want to tune in to the nightly parade. How do they do that?
Jump onto YouTube and search for Phillip Island Nature Park. That live stream will come up every evening. And similarly on Facebook, if you just search Phillip Island Nature Parks on Facebook, so whichever platform you're more comfortable with. Start time changes a little bit each night because, of course, they are based around sunset. And they don't really care too much about time. And as the days get longer and the sun sets later, they'll start coming in later and later.
Veronica Matheson there, speaking with Roland Pick of Phillip Island Nature Park.